Book of Luke, Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read the verse and the verses around the command of Christ, and then we will have our discussion. So Luke chapter 14. Beginning with verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The command of Christ here is to bring in the poor, to bring in the poor. And so the question that we want to look at tonight is that every community has poor people who are capable of getting a job but refuse to work. Scripture commands that if any will not eat, not work, neither should he eat. Should people who refuse to work be invited to a feast? Think about that in conjunction with this command of Christ to bring in the poor. What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts? Brad.
One thing I know of is that if you're go to the food shelf, they tell you to go to different churches on Sundays, find the one they have their tickets.
Hmm.
People who, you know, come and be able
to. Okay. As a way of maybe supplementing and helping people get through. Has anybody, not that you've necessarily been to a food bank recently, but have you heard any talk about how they're doing? With the economy being the way it is, are their shelves bare? Is there a need, Joan? Okay.
They came in for flour, I was told, and
Okay. Okay, so that's something that we can, as Christians, can be aware of, and if there's a need, we can find some of these places. There's food shelves all over, and donate some things to these places and be of help. It's good. Are you aware that there are, I mean, this is kind of off subject, but I think it's important. Are you aware that there are, what's that, Debbie, what's that thing? It's the third Saturday of the month in Boyceville. What's that, Food Harvest or something? What is it, Lowell?
I think it's
Second Harvest. Anyway, it's at Boyceville, and it's $15. You can go and basically get filled up on a lot of stuff. Whatever they have available is what you take, but it's there. For a suggested donation of $15, and if you don't have that, they're not going to refuse you. Bob? It's opening up a nap. Oh, okay. Okay, good. For Saturday? Okay. Any other thoughts about this verse? Sue Ann.
But what do they mean by refuse to work? I mean, do they mean like the way the economy is now where every place is folding up and people are being laid off? Or are they talking about people who have been abusing the system who keep, like in the 80s or 70s, they would have, keep having children out of wedlock and off the system? There's a big difference.
There is, and that's why I'm throwing it open for discussion. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just offering a chance for you to discuss here and consider what our Christian duty is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so at that point, I kind of shut it down because it wasn't a need like today.
Okay.
And I think the other time we had it, the people didn't like it because it was off-brand foods. People would bring in foods from, you know, just off-brand. And they wanted to make bread, but they didn't want it.
They were, weren't really hungry enough. Unfortunately, there will always be people who abuse it.
Yeah.
When we did the tour of Darren and I attended the pastor for a couple of people, and every time we went, we took our bus and go down to the Singapore local bus stop and bring all these people to church. We fed them a big dinner, in other words.
Dorothy, and then Bob.
One way that we can have to do it. And for ourselves, in the end, people and cast it on. And of course, it's only made to more people. But anyway, my daughter heard me holler finally. I was hollering at Jason because he was sure he could hear me when he was around. And you know what she did? Amongst all this crowd, she jumped out of the car and came to me. Well, because she came to me, she was able to help me take the chair back from the car and wait for her. And then she got a free meal out of it because I had two free meals from the people over my land. And I thought both of us were blessed. And so you can't help but be blessed when you help somebody else. And Jesus has taught us that all the way along, that we should help and love other people. And greet those that we don't know, and those that are not enough. And just take time for them, and that's when we love them. But you know, so many times we are rewarded back for what we do.
We are.
I don't know how it is, what it will be, but we are rewarded.
Yes, we are.
And I was also thinking of a verse I had told you that once before, perhaps, that it says, they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. And a book of remembrance is written for them, for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels, saith the Lord. And I will spare them as a man, a father spares his own son. So the day comes when we get rewarded for whatever we've done, even if it's a cup of water to do for somebody. In the name of a Christian God, that's what the Lord. We should love to work for Jesus. I love it today with all my heart, because what I know it does mean to
me. Yep. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Bob.
Years ago, first time I ever left to Washington, we represented the church as an outreach. Her and I and another couple took on a mission that down in the bottom of Portland, Oregon. It was called the Red Feather Organization, the building, and they were allowed to have 84 people present in that building, and it was governed as they walked in. These girls made sweet rolls, pies, whatnot. Those people were fed 2 meals a day. And the first one was fairly early, and the next one was noon, and nothing for supper. And we went, so we had no trouble just standing out in the way while it place filled up. As they opened it, we had 84 people. We had a service, and then we fed them. And we had converts, several, over the period of time, because they were hungry. I remember one couple that came with 5 children, and I could see that they were hungry. They needed clothes, but we gave them sweet rolls. Oh, and I didn't say, but as about 6 gallons brought up. And so they had rolls of milk. And it was quite clean. Those people, but they went with peace on it. So the reality of Christ, and the reality of Christ, and I can even remember now that I'm talking about. It's the first time that I ever spoke publicly. I was the MC, I was in charge. But never did I try to preach or proclaim, but had a speaker arranged and he didn't show up. And I did hold it. I spoke on John 3:16 and gave it all their cup and got fired. And they all got it. And they proved it in it. So what a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do what we can do.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes when you take care of the physical, then you get the greater opportunity to take care of their soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did not ask, you know, are you willing to hear? You know, he loved and he shared.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give the impression that we don't want to give to those who are not working. There are people that want to work, but that can't find jobs, and I'm not talking about that at all. And you certainly wouldn't want to stop somebody from coming in and saying, "Do you want to work?" You know, because if you don't, then I'm not going to feed you. We wouldn't do that. But Gretchen. Sure. Just a donation, yeah. Sure. Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The way to hit. Amen. Yes. Yeah, that's a great testimony. And in his case, literally, the way to the man's heart was through his stomach. Praise the Lord. Just to take the other side of it here a little bit, because Paul did say, you know, if a man doesn't want to work, you shouldn't feed him. What was the motivation behind that? Not that we're going to stop somebody and ask them if, you know, before we feed them if they're willing to work, but what was the motivation behind that teaching there? Any idea? Glenn? Sure. And are they really being helped by just giving to them, you know, without, if I was in such a position, I would, and I think most people would like to do something to try to earn that, you know, to try to contribute.
It's kind of like a child. You raise a child, and I know a family is doing it. Raise a child, and the mother will do anything for that child. The child's not a teenager. Child is absolutely nothing. The mother served that child just like the child is still a baby. So now she's doing the service to that child.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's kind of similar.
Yeah, it is. Same principle. Camelia?
I was thinking that
Yeah. You know, I noticed something here, and I'm real proud of our guys, because I think, you know, we have quite a few guys that are laid off, and I think there's not a one of them that hasn't come to me and said, "Pastor, is there something I can do to help?" And they've got ministries in the church, or they want to help, and I appreciate that very much. I really do. Yes. That's a good, very good thing. Glenn.
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily talk about the same people here when Paul's talking about people not working. We're not necessarily talking about the verse here. Jesus meant to really talk about people that are refusing to work. He's talking about poor people.
Yeah.
Main, lame, can't work.
You are right.
So
you're right.
They maybe have a desire, but they can't work.
Yes. That's, we are. The discussion question was just to take the other side there, but yes. Yes. And people feel obligated, don't they? If you have them over, they feel obligated to have you over. Something. And I don't think. Do you think that Jesus is saying you can't invite people over that you're friends with, or that can pay you back or invite you over? I don't think he's saying you can't do that. I think he's trying to open our eyes up to another group of people that can't pay you back. Somebody had their hand up. Brad?
One thing, I guess, for you to get the voice across, if you can't do for yourself, I can't do it for you. If you can't try and make an effort,
what
I can do for you is going to be
non-existent. Okay.
And also what Glenn was saying, I guess my view is more if, you know, the person, you know, disabled in some way, they want to work, but they can't physically. There's just so many things in today's society that we can do that, you know, help teach a child to walk somebody's dog or something like that, just to give something.
Yes. Just kind of be creative.
Yeah.
I think our society has tried to, you know, you'll see some people disabled. We notice Down syndrome children now, you know, with Sam and some of the opportunities that they're given in some of the places of employment. I think just to make them feel better, like they're contributing, that's a good thing. Marion? Nice and loud. Sure. I understand. Sue Ann?
Yeah.
Sue Ann's been praying for a job, working hard to get a job, and she got a job, right? So you're starting, is it tomorrow, you said? That's an answer to prayer. Praise the Lord for that. Well, let's see. It's just some ways maybe we can keep this command to bring in the poor. First of all, to see the potential in the poor and disabled, to see the potential that is in them. There was once a baby that was given wrong medication for her eyes. The doctor said that this treatment would cure her eye infection, but instead it caused permanent blindness. That little girl might have been a burden to her parents had it not been for a godly grandmother that she had who saw the potential in that child. And so her grandmother taught her to see the world through the eyes of the Creator. And after years of patient instruction, this little girl developed an extraordinary talent for writing poems and for music. And the next time you sing Rescue the Perishing or Blessed Assurance or one of the other 9,000 hymns that Fanny Crosby wrote, we can rejoice because there was a godly grandmother that saw the potential of someone who was disabled. They have a lot of potential. We have to recognize that the potential is there and to draw it out. And so this command, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Why? For they cannot recompense, they can't pay you back. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. God will pay you back. God will make sure that you are blessed. Each of these four guests to whom we are to show hospitality, notice how they require outside help. A poor person needs what? Food, clothing, basic necessities of life. A maimed person needs help in what? I can't hear, I'm sorry. Walking, carrying out daily functions, right? The daily functions of life, normal functions of life. Those who are lame, of course, need help walking. And those who are blind need what? Somebody to be their eyes, somebody to guide them, right? Lead them. And so there are these physical limitations. They're easy to recognize. But do you know that God makes up for those limitations through other senses? For example, those that don't have sight usually are able to have extraordinary hearing. They can hear things that you and I just don't hear, or they pay attention more to those things. But it's like God compensates what they lack with something else. And you know, that's why we need the body of Christ, because we all lack in certain areas. There are other parts of the body that compensate for our in the areas that we lack in. So together, we come together and we form the body of Christ. And that's why the apostle said, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." And he goes on to say, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." Even like the toe might not seem very necessary, important, but break here sometime, and you'll find out how important it is. "And the members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. God hath tempered," or God hath mixed the body together, "having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism," or there should be no division in the body, "but that the members should have the same care one for another." And so God compensates. And he says that he has made even the poor rich in faith. See, God compensates for their what they lack because they're poor, he makes up that for that with a spiritual blessing, making them rich in faith. Imagine the honor it would be to serve a meal to Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? To have Jesus come and just be able to serve him. Kind of like Abraham did there in the Old Testament. You know, let's go kill the nicest calf we have and bring it and prepare it and feed it to the Lord. But do you know that every time we obey this command before us tonight, we are serving Jesus? Because Jesus said, if you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so God is no respecter of persons, and we should not be either. The second thing that we can do to obey this command is to discern the kinds of poverty that there are. There's at least three. Many years ago, a pastor asked the leader of a certain ministry to assist a needy family in the church. The family was living in such deplorable conditions that something had to be done. In fact, the rented house that they were living in was overrun with filth and clutter. The health department had ordered them to move out. The children continually had head lice, and the mother was just totally overwhelmed. And so the church and this ministry provided a house for this family. The pastor assigned some women in the church to help the parents train their children and also to come in and help her keep the house neat and clean. And progress was going, but it was slow at best. And then the church discovered a shocking fact. The father's salary was greater than the salary of the head of this ministry organization and the pastor put together. The man had a lot of money. He was not poor. He was just a poor manager of that which God has given him. Poor manager of his resources. And so it causes us to ask the question, who are the poor? And how can we best help them? In this particular case, the best way to help them was not just to throw money at them, right? What would have been the best way to help this family? Yeah. Right, right. And so we need to realize that too as the body of Christ. Sometimes the thing that appears to be the big need is not really the need at all. That there is a need underneath the surface that needs to be addressed first. And I think that's why also Paul gave that command. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat, because you have to teach a man how to be diligent in his business. Bill.
Anymore, you know, you got to kind of watch yourself, so you're not able to borrow money off of it. All right. You say, no, I'm going to give you money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. And Bill said sometimes people ask for money and the thing to do is not give them money but take them out to eat. You know, when I was at North Central Bible College right there in the heart of downtown Minneapolis, we had people begging for money all the time. We joked, we'd see legs sticking out of the bushes, you know, and people asking for handouts. And right away, the Bible College warned us, you know, you're going to want to give them money, but don't give them money. Take them out to eat or do something because they're just going to drink it up. And that was true. And I've had people contact me here at the church, people passing through and asking for money. I won't give them money. I'll fill up their gas tank or something for them, put some gas in their tank. But I don't like to give cash. In fact, I had one man wanted a bus ticket. I might have told you this. He came by. No, he didn't want a bus ticket. He wanted my car. And I said, I will purchase a bus ticket for you to get to where you want to go. And he says, no, I want your car. And he left mad. But so sometimes you can't help people. You want to help them, but you can't. So, but thing is, giving to those in need requires love, and it also requires discernment. Brad?
Who
food for their children. And it got to be a point where we started to notice that they always had cigarettes. And that food, they always had cigarettes. So it got to be, you know, we'll go to the grocery store with you and buy you the groceries. We're not buying you cigarettes.
Yeah, that's good. Was it Don Stoffer or was it somebody else? Was talking about they had, Don, was this you, that bought McDonald's gift certificates? Somebody bought McDonald's gift certificates, and then when they came across these poor people asking for money, they handed them a McDonald's gift certificate. And I thought that was a pretty good idea. Well, there are some people that are born into poverty. One kind of poverty is poverty by birth. Some people are born into wealthier families. Some people are born into families that are poor. But God says the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Proverbs 22:2. Because a poor person doesn't have the resources himself, they're sometimes quick to ask God, to cry out to God to meet their needs. Psalm 34:6, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then there's poverty by chastening. God often uses financial difficulties to chasten those who have violated his moral laws. For example, Proverbs 6:26 says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." And Proverbs 21:20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." He spends it even before he gets it, does not know how to save. Unlike the ant who is diligent to save for times of for hard times, spends it up quickly. So there is a poverty that comes through chastening. And I often think, you know, of the prodigal son. And if there had been somebody there to meet the prodigal son's needs, would that son have returned home? And, you know, as when he was finally eating among the pigs, he came to his senses and said, "You know, even my father's servants have it better than this. I'll arise and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son.'" It was that poverty that brought him to a place of repentance. So we need to be discerning. And then there's some that are poor by choice, poverty by choice. Jesus said, "Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." 2 Corinthians 8:9. Now, some people choose to live frugally so that they have more to give. And those people need our assistance at times. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will the Lord pay him again." Proverbs 19:17. Third thing that we can do in order to keep this command is to equip the poor for ministry. One Christian leader said, "I noticed a feature, as I opened the newspaper, I noticed a feature article about the national leader next to whom I was sitting on the airplane. He was our host as we traveled through his country, meeting leaders and making plans to teach God's way of life to the entire nation of Romania. This leader was highly honored and respected wherever we went. This great leader told me his life story. He grew up in a large family that lived on a small farm. His parents were barely able to provide for their family's needs of food and clothing. At school, classmates mocked him for his poverty and for his faith in the Lord. He graduated with high honors, but there were no job opportunities available to him because he was not a communist. He prayed, 'Lord, would you bless my life so that I can demonstrate that you honor those who follow you?'" And so that's what God did. He equipped this man for ministry so much so, blessed him so much so that he became one of the leaders of the nation of Romania. "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?" James 2:5. You know what? Our tendency is to be partial toward those who are rich, those who are well off and well to do. Why would that be? Why is that human tendency there, human nature. Brad?
If you have money and I praise you kind of thing, that may fall on me.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's really a selfish thing. If I pay attention to this rich person, maybe this rich person will pay some attention to me and give me something. Laura? There are. We found that out on our trip last week too. We can't take a trip without the alternator going out. This is three trips in a row. But this one had just been changed 3 weeks ago. So there's no reason the alternator should have went out. But it did, in the middle of Iowa. Bad things happen to us in Iowa. No. But anyway, so here we are in the middle of Iowa, and it's like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something. And so the Gamels were with us, and they had AAA, and they called this tow truck, and the guy came out. And while he's coming, we're calling this national chain that had fixed our alternator. And they said, well, if you get it to us by 5 o'clock, which you won't, because we're 50 miles away and it's going to take time to hook up the car. If you get it here, we'd fix it, but you won't, so we can't fix it till tomorrow morning. And so we dreaded the thought of staying in a motel overnight and not being very far down the road. And we said, well, would you honor your warranty with somebody else fixing it? Will you reimburse us for the cost of the alternator? Or can we go purchase an alternator, put it in ourselves, and would you reimburse us for the alternator? And they said, no, because you're within 50 miles of one of our shops. So they wouldn't honor it because we were within 50 miles of their shop, but they wouldn't do it because it was too late at night or in the afternoon. So the tow truck driver came, and he was just super. He made room for all of us in the tow truck and drove us to the parts store and purchased the alternator, came back. He sat there with us while we put it in, waited till we were done, gave us a jump, which he didn't have to do. He just did that, out of the kindness of his heart. And so there are people like that. And praise the Lord for them. Number four. Oh, sorry, Dan. Wow. Well, that would be great. Fourth thing we could do, keep this command, discover banquet evangelism. That's really what Jesus is talking about here. Banquet evangelism. Inviting the poor, inviting the people of the community in, and serve them and feed them. We as a church, we've been, as a board and some of the leaders, we've been talking about what we can do to try to reach our community. And this is one of the things that we came up with. We're talking about having a corn feed. And or if we can't get corn, we'll just do something else to serve a meal to the people of community. Banquet evangelism. After you take care of the physical, you know, Jesus did that. He would go from the physical to the spiritual. He'd talk with the woman at the well. He'd talk about physical water. He'd talk about the natural. And then he'd move to the spiritual and say, I'm the living water. And if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And actually, guys, if anybody wants to join us tomorrow, we're meeting at Quick Trip at 8 o'clock for breakfast. All you guys are welcome. And we're going to be discussing some of these things, but even if you don't want to be a part of that and you want to come for breakfast, join us. The invitation is there. But effective ministry involves good works that glorify God. Cause people to ask us to explain our faith in Christ. Why are you doing these things for us? Gives us an opportunity to explain why we do them, because we love the Lord and want to serve Him and serve people as well. You know, that's what Jesus came to do. He came not to be served, but to serve. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And we have to have the right kind of priorities like Jesus did. And His priority was to serve those who were poor, right? He helped those who couldn't give back to Him. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to focus on just giving to people and expecting them to bless our church or anything like that. We just want to minister to them, whether they give back, whether they come or not. Jody? Go ahead. Go ahead. If you just stand up, nice and loud. There you go. I'm glad you read the whole passage. What's the only difference between those two groups? The only difference, what they did and didn't do. One group did it, the other group did not do it. That's the only difference. Yes. Right. Yes. Yep. And unfortunately, man looks on the outward appearance. He's like, well, there's a person. I don't know if I want to help that shady character. I'll look for somebody else that's a little more appealing. Sure. We do. We can't do that, though, if we're going to fulfill this command, this verse. Number 5, seek out dinner guests. Seek out your dinner guests. Jesus gave the parable there about a man hosting a great feast. When everything was ready, the host sent his servants out to invite the guests. However, those that were invited all had excuses why they couldn't come to the banquet. One guy had just purchased some land, had to go see it. Another person had just purchased a new team of oxen that he had to work, he had to try out. Another person had just gotten married, needed to be home with his wife. All these were good reasons why they didn't come, but the host did not appreciate the excuses. In fact, he became upset, and so he said, told the servants, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. But you know what? Even after all that was done, there was still room at the table. Still room at the banquet table. When his house was full of guests, he didn't want any empty spaces. Let's go back again. Call them from the highways and byways. Compel them to come in. Bring the poor, bring the disabled to the feast. You know, God's offer of salvation goes out to everyone. We are included in that. We are spiritually poor, spiritually disabled. But God didn't want his home in heaven to be empty. He wanted his table to be full. And so he sends out the invitation to come, that my house may be full. And we can do this. We can begin by viewing our neighbors and our towns, our villages, our cities, no matter how big they are, as our little mission field. And seeking out the poor and the disabled and the neighbors around us, and invite them into our homes, into our church. That's this whole purpose here is of banquet evangelism. And so then again, Jesus, his command to bring in the poor disables us from having the wrong motives in bringing them in. We invite them, we give to them, expecting nothing in return. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Number 6, demonstrate hospitality. Hospitality is making room in our hearts and in our homes for guests and treating them like part of the family. I like that idea of making room in our hearts and in our homes. You know, we learned a valuable lesson there from Mary and Martha. Martha was just busy with all these preparations and making sure everything was just right. But Mary was the one that spent time with her guests. Can I tell you, if you invite me to your house, I don't care what your house looks like. I don't want you just to be worrying about how everything looks. I'd rather spend some time with you. You know, and I think when we invite people into our homes, we need to realize that too. The house could be a little messy. There might be dishes in the sink or something. That's fine. Because the emphasis on here is the people, not the preparations or anything like that. It's the people. And Martha was more impressed on impressing and entertaining the guests. Mary was more concerned with enjoying their fellowship. So, you know, while food and those things are important, the focus of hospitality should be the guests themselves. Number 7, be given to hospitality. be given to hospitality. We, as believers, have a debt of love that we owe. We can never repay God for all that He has done for us, but what we can do is try to pay off that debt of love to those that are around us, to those who need Him as much as we needed Him. Camelia? That's neat. Mm-hmm. Yes. Brad?
A couple weeks ago, Lowell and Jill invited Sweet and I, and there were a couple other people from the church there. They're not those 20 in name. And we had dinner, and we played Domino's. And it was a good time. It was like a very family friendly, oriented. And it was good time, we much appreciated. And the other day we went to stop at Bob and Claire's, and they invited us in, and we were in a little bit of a hurry, and I felt bad that we didn't spend time to visit. And it's just, you know, the church is very much a family friendly place. And I'm new to that. I'm a very shallow person and very withdrawn, and then I don't trust people, and I know I'm just shy and not.
Yeah.
I tend not to, if somebody was to do something for me, I would rather say no, thank you, than accept it. This is who I am.
Okay.
Kind of the crying thing to, you know, I want to be my own man, but somebody giving a helping hand is a good thing, and I appreciate what people do.
Probably like most people.
What he's really saying is wonder what they want to say.
No, I wouldn't say that. Sometimes I guess.
Well, one last thought. This command here is in the Greek present tense, which means it's to be a continuous, ongoing action. Okay, it wasn't just a one-time event. It's to be a continuous, ongoing part of the Christian life. That's it. Any last thoughts or comments? Appreciated the discussion tonight. Your insights. Bob. Yes, it was a good turnout tonight. Thanks for coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the privilege of serving you and serving you by serving others. I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to, whether we are really inclined to or not, be given to hospitality. Lord, that we would be more open to receiving people into our homes, into our church, into our personal lives, that we would be given to this hospitality. That we could be like you. And Lord, help us as we serve others to serve with your attitude, to serve not expecting anything in return, but simply desiring to be a blessing to others. And Lord, we know that as we do that, we will be blessed in return, but that's not our motivation. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us as your servants to go out in the highways and the byways and bring people in so that they can learn about you and experience this great salvation that we have. And someday, all sit around the banquet table in heaven. What a day that will be, Lord, when we can gather in your presence with believers from all times and all ages, along with friends and family. We thank you for our future, for it is bright, it is great, it is glorious. Until then, Lord, help us to be faithful servants of yours, doing your work and your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.